Hey guys, and welcome back to part two of this 11th episode of The Mailbag. And yeah, last night we had so many calls and emails that I had to just split this into two. I thought I could cram it into one, but time was against me, and now we're doing part two. So let's dive in here to everything that happened this week in WWE. Again, feel free to join in, guys. RealWWEPodcast@gmail.com is where you can send the emails. And so this one comes to us from Jeremy. He said, I've been thinking about this since Goldberg showed up. Drew drops the belt to Goldberg, giving us Roman versus Drew and Goldberg versus The Fiend for WrestleMania. What are your thoughts? So, and thank you so much, Jeremy. So I've covered this a lot over the last few days, and without repeating myself in its in entirety, the short version is, yes, I believe that Goldberg will capture the belt. The internet's going to explode. Twitter's going to go off its hinges. And we will possibly get Roman versus Drew at WrestleMania. And people were saying, well, how are you going to get there? Royal Rumble. Drew could still enter the Royal Rumble and win the Royal Rumble for the second year in a row and end up facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And as far as the Goldberg versus The Fiend at WrestleMania, I'm not going to put it out of my brain as not possible, because we've seen these two lock up before, which is The Fiend's one loss, clean loss, that is, because of course the Inferno match isn't really a loss per se, as it is just being lit on fire. So I believe that, could it happen? Could The Fiend versus Goldberg actually be a possibility? Yeah, it's very possible. I don't think it's likely, though, given that there are better opponents, I think, out there. And Goldberg is not one of them. Goldberg shouldn't even be coming off of our lips right now. I mean, but you guys know how I feel about Goldberg at this point. So thank you, Jeremy. And let's get to those voicemails.
Good morning. This is William Dickerson from Wichita, Kansas. WWE Podcast is number one. And I got a crush for all y'all viewers that listen to WWE Podcast. If y'all think President Trump is going to resign or get voted at the White House, then y'all can donate an interest bank. It's my business. VIP 1000. Thank you.
Hey, William. So thanks for the voicemail. Not sure really if there's a question in there. Obviously, we try to stay away from politics on the show, but you know, I do appreciate you taking the time to call in. If you have questions or comments about wrestling and you want to talk about that, certainly feel free. But yeah, we try to stay away from politics here. It's a dangerous, dangerous subject because there's no winning. No matter what side anyone comes down on, it's going to be controversial. So, all right, moving on to our next voicemail. Thanks again, William, and appreciate the listen.
Hey, Matt, what's going on? It's Brad from PA. Just want to go have a little comment real quick about the Adam Pearce getting a title shot. I know a lot of people are down on it. I'm actually going to have a little faith here, because I know that from what I've read online, I'm sure you've read or heard the same thing I've heard, but I guess Roman and Paul have a lot of power here with the creative and the storyline. So I know maybe 2 weeks ago or whenever it was when they threw Kevin off the thing through the table, from what I read, and I'm sure you read also, was that Damian Priest was supposed to get called up, was possibly supposed to come save Kevin Owens and claim he's his best friend. And from what I heard is that Paul, Roman, and Kevin all nixed the plan because they said, you know, that wouldn't really make much sense. All of a sudden, my best friend from where? So maybe this Adam Pearce thing is a way to get Damian Priest involved somehow in a call-up. Maybe he's his long-lost best friend, possibly, or he knows him, or he's here to protect him for some reason. I don't know. But at the end of the day, Matt, I finally got to see Adam Pearce get lit up, and I'm really, really happy about that, and I'm looking forward to him possibly getting lit up every Friday until the Rumble, and then possibly lit up again at the Rumble. So I've been building that anger towards Pierce for a few months. I'm sure you know that. So I am enjoying watching him finally get hands put on him. Hey, take care, brother. I hope everything's well and you're having a good new year. See ya.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for the call as always. Fun to hear from you and always got some great ideas or commentary for sure. So I will say this, I can't disagree with you about Adam Pearce. I can't disagree with you that I wanted to see somebody just lay him out for a long time. And I'm not feeling sympathetic towards Adam Pearce. I think he's an extremely unlikable character on air. I don't think he comes across very sympathetic or really character I can relate with that I would care about whether he wins or loses. But ultimately, as you said, I don't think that this is about Adam Pearce. It has never been about Adam Pearce. We all may be complaining, including myself. And to some degree, I think we're justified because, yes, this is a means to an end that has nothing to do with Adam Pearce. It has something to do with a bigger picture, and I get that. But you're also putting on the Royal Rumble card Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns. Do you hear that? Right? You're still putting that as part of the card of Royal Rumble. And if you're trying to get people interested and draw a buzz, that's not the way to do it. Now, again, this is a means to an end, which could be Damian Priest. I did hear that from NXT. Of course, it could be other things I've heard, which, okay, I'm spoiler alert for WrestleMania. So if you don't want to hear what I'm about to say regarding WrestleMania and Roman's potential opponent, skip ahead, maybe a minute or so, but okay, you've been warned. Here we go. I've heard that it's Daniel Bryan who's going to be facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I don't think that's a secret. So could it be him? Yeah. I mean, Kevin Owens is also the one that's out there injured, which he's going to come back. Again, injured in a storyline, of course. There's a lot of opponents that Roman Reigns has created over the last few months being what he is now. And I'm still loving every minute of it. But I don't know what this is. This is clearly something else that's going to happen at the Rumble. It has nothing to do with Adam Pearce. Nothing. He could have a stand-in, as I mentioned last night, on part one of my episode. There's lots of possibilities. This has nothing to do with the WWE Championship at Adam Pearce. It is just to get us to that next step for Roman and whose next true opponent's going to be. And it could be Kevin Owens, a returning Kevin Owens. And they finally have their final match at the next pay-per-view. And then Roman gets his next opponent, which is going to be his WrestleMania opponent, which is the person I just named a minute ago. So thank you, Brad. Please feel free to call back. And if you'd like to call in and you're like, hey, how do I get on the show? How do I ask you a question or rant or whatever? Here's the easy way. You can email us at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or you can call the show at 518-952-0247. And it's a voicemail box, 3 minutes or less, because it literally will cut you off at 3 minutes. It's not my doing. It will stop you at 3 minutes, which I think is reasonable. So make sure it's kind of quick to the point and keep it PG. So if you cuss, I mean, I'll have to edit it out, which is a pain in the neck. So please try to keep it PG. Whatever you hear on WWE programming is what you hear here. So, okay, let's keep moving.
Hey, it's the Waz. I haven't finished Raw, but I had to call in because I just had to make some comments about what I just saw. First of all, you have Keith Lee get interviewed. Then Sheamus comes up. It looks like they're going to be okay between the two of them. And then Miz and Morrison come up. And Sheamus makes the comment about Dumb and Dumber. And Keith Lee says, well, which one's dumber? And then John Morrison says, well, he is, referring to Miz. As dumb as Morrison and Miz can be sometimes, that got me. I was laughing at that. Something about Morrison, when he tries to be funny, sometimes it's really annoying, and sometimes he actually is kind of funny. Anyways, but then comes back from commercial break. They go into the match. Keith Lee goes and runs into Morrison into the corner turnbuckle, and the turnbuckle breaks. I've never seen that. The look on Keith Lee's face was obviously real. Like, I don't think that was planned. I'll be naive if I have to be, just because of the sake of the joy that I got watching that. That was hilarious to see that happen. and I loved it. So just wanted to call in and say that. Just too funny. On the other note, with Randy and Triple H in the ring at the beginning of the match, definitely wasn't expecting that. With this act being a last minute kind of thing, I can't imagine that this is going to be a long-term battle going back and forth between them, in future shows and all that. If it does, that'd be great, but I just don't think that's the case. I think this is a last minute scramble because McIntyre can't be on the show. Hopefully they actually end up having a match tonight. We'll see. If they do, maybe I'll call back in and leave another message. Well, thanks again, guys. Totally funny, especially that look on Keith Lee's face. Oh, my goodness. Later.
And what would our show be without the Waz? Thank you. Thank you for calling in. And again, it's always fun to hear the regulars and new voices mixed in. It's really fun. And I really do enjoy this, guys. It's nice to hear other voices. I'm sure the people listening, other people that aren't even calling in are like, oh, it's nice to hear a different voice other than his. And I agree. I wouldn't want to hear the same voice all the time either. So thank you, Waz, for calling in. And I'm glad you brought up the turnbuckle. That's easy for me to say. I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't bring that up in my Raw review. I completely forgot about it. Don't know how or why. And as far as do I think it was planned, I would say I'm erring on the side of you where I don't think it was something planned because it really didn't lend itself to anything in the match. Like it didn't lend itself to a finish or a big moment. And his facial expressions did look very genuine. It didn't, you know, it wasn't anything that was just like it was clearly a plan for X to happen. It was just it happened. They fixed it and they moved on, which does make me believe that it was an accident. A scary one, though, right? Like, was the turnbuckle that loose? What if somebody jumped off the top rope and the thing gave way? You know, like, that's kind of scary. If that was truly not supposed to happen, the ring crew may want to get their you-know-what together because that was the most safe bump you could have done into the turnbuckle and not have a disastrous result. So there's that. But do I lend it to possibly being a fix to make it look like Keith Lee is an absolute animal? Yeah, I'd say like 90% chance of it not supposed to happen and 10% that it was planned, you know. But it didn't really end the match. It didn't do anything to fit part of the story other than just Keith Lee's an animal. So there's that. I'm glad you brought that up. As far as Miz and Morrison, look, you guys know what my opinions of them are. I stand firm by them. They are absolutely unwatchable. They are children. And Waz, look, if you enjoyed Morrison and you enjoy him at times, that's great. Like, you know, more power to you. I hope people listening to me do enjoy The Miz and Morrison. I'm not trying to discourage anybody from enjoying them if you do. Everything in wrestling is subjective, which is why it's so opinionated, which is why there's so many different podcasts and everything else that have just a wide range of opinions. That's what this is for. But I cannot find any redeeming qualities in either of their characters. Again, characters. In-ring, Morrison's great. And Miz is average to good. But character-wise, I see nothing in them that can remotely draw me into even wanting to continue watching the program. You know, it's just painful to me. So Randy Orton and Triple H, to your last point, I don't think this is anything long-term. God, I hope not. And this was clearly just a stand-in for Drew McIntyre, who's not going to be there this week either. I'm sure he won't be there and back until the Royal Rumble, which, look, I understand why. I mean, and perceptually, even if he's not contagious anymore, you don't want to have the media get on your back about, oh my God, they had a superstar test positive last week and he's there this week. He's got to have a 14-day quarantine. You're not going to see Drew McIntyre back in person until the Royal Rumble. So I don't think this is something with Randy Orton and Triple H that is long-term, nor should it be. This is nothing more than just Randy and The Fiend. And Triple H will go back to being the COO next week. That's it. So, okay, thanks, Waz, and next one.
Good morning. This is Jose Alicia. And I live in Greenville, Pennsylvania, in Steelers hometown. And I got this awesome also going to review what I saw when Triple H walked down with the badass entrance of his entrance, the authority figure entrance theme song. And it feels like, for me, what Triple H says to Randy Orton, I do not like what Randy Orton did to my legends. If he does it again, when he sticks his nose into my legends, I'm going to go down there and say something and destroy Randy Orton. And destroy Randy Orton pretty bad. And I can't wait to see that happen. The team authority will be me and the game. Triple H. And I can't wait to see that happen. And you have a wonderful morning on a new year, 2021.
Hey, Jose. Hey, listen, you want to give Randy Orton beef? You know where to go. Twitter. You can always find him there. Just be careful. They're banning accounts left and right. They banned the President of the United States. They certainly won't think twice about banning anybody else. So just be careful what you say. But if you want to definitely, you know, tell them how you feel, there's no better place. So more power to you. Let me know how it works out. And let's get to the next voicemail.
Hey, Matt, it's Devin from Australia. I hope you're well. I watched Monday Night Raw yesterday. In Australia, it's actually pretty cool. It's shows on television live from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. So I kind of watch it over my lunch break, which is a nice break for the day. But yeah, I don't know. I certainly enjoyed Raw much better than the previous week, but I didn't enjoy it that much more. To me, it all started when Triple H came out. I love Triple H. I love to hate him when he was an active player on the roster, I suppose. He, to me, epitomized true heel Heath. I just hated him so much, but I had to watch what he did. But anyway, you know, that he comes out, the first word he said is, "Oh, it looks like I've still got it." Listen to that, or something along those lines. He was referring to the Triple H chants and that, which clearly are pumped in. I mean, let's not joke. Let's not pull the wool over anyone's eyes. And I think that just annoyed me. It's like, I didn't quite get that. I was like, I just felt a little bit like my intelligence was being insulted. I don't think he needed to say that. But anyway, that might be me nitpicking. My other point I've got is I wonder with everyone having double duties, like I think it was Riddle, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Matt Hardy, I wonder if there are more superstars that have tested positive for COVID, and maybe that's as a result there were a lot of double duties being pulled. Just my thoughts there anyway. I mean, I hope not, but that might be a reason why there were fewer superstars in action. And my last comment is about Lacey Evans. It's that laugh of hers. It sounds like a cackle right at the end of all her promos. It sounds like, I don't know, again, I'm probably nitpicking, but, oh, it annoys me. It's like listening to Popeye's wife or something, just minus the pipe in the mouth. Just that little annoying cackle all the time. Anyway, I'll leave it at that, and thanks for the great show, and I hope you're well. Cheers. Bye.
Hey, Devin. Great to hear from you, as always, and I'm glad to hear that you get to watch Raw from 11 to 2. That's a great time to watch Raw. Now, I know most people are at their place of employment between that time, but like you said, you have lunch break or whatever. That'd be great. You know, because then I actually may be able to watch it. I'm still working from home. Like, I've been working from home since mid-March. So it'd be a great, great time. It's my son's nap time. It's quiet time around the house. Man, I'm jealous. I got to say, I'm jealous of that. But your point about Triple H saying that I still got it. Yeah, I don't think that he thought that the fans believe that true crowd noise is there. I mean, I don't think anybody believes that. It's painfully obvious that crowd noise is being generated by the production truck. So we know that. So I didn't take offense to it or even get annoyed by it, simply because I know that Triple H isn't dumb enough to try to insult the fans' intelligence. And he was almost trying to be comedic. I think. I didn't take it the way that that he's serious, that, oh, you know, I still got it. These are genuine cheers that I'm getting, or chants that I'm getting. Of course not. I think Triple H did it in kind of a sly way, almost a comedic way. That's how I took it anyway. As far as Lacey Evans's cackle, yeah, that's a good point too. I haven't brought that up. Lacey Evans's cackle is super obnoxious. And again, in a way that it borders on cringeworthy, but it also at the same time gives her some heel heat where I do want to see somebody kind of punch her in the face. So it does both. I would rather have it not be cringeworthy or embarrassing. Like I find it forced, the cackle she does. Like it's like she just watched a cartoon one day, or she watched something on social media or a TikTok or something, and she saw somebody do that, and she's like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add that little wrinkle to my character, you know, something like that. And it's like, it's a little forced and weird, but I agree. But to me, it borders on cringeworthy / actual heel heat. Your point about more people potentially testing positive. Oh yeah, I'm sure they did. And especially like you said, doing double duty. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if more people did test positive and WWE kept them off TV, or they just don't want it getting out that they had like a widespread rampage of COVID through the roster. I'm sure they don't want that in the news, and they just want to look at it as Drew McIntyre's one isolated incident and everybody else is safe. I have my doubts. It's all about public perception, and they had to explain why their champion wasn't there, but maybe the lower card guys that we don't think about that weren't on Raw, maybe they tested positive too, but you're not going to put them in a press release. You're only going to care about like your big storyline, your big champion. Why isn't he there? And they just told the truth. So absolutely. Do I think there's more positives? Yes, I do. But they're just saving face. And I understand why. And I don't feel insulted by it. They're a company. They have investors. They have ratings. They have a consumer base that they need to satisfy, and they need to, especially the stockholders and shareholders that they need to satisfy. And it all comes down to the bottom line and the public perception of what's going on in WWE. So, yep. Alrighty. Thanks so much, Devin. And call back. Certainly call back. Always really fun to hear from you. Hope you're doing well, too. So here we go.
Hey, man. It's a casual wrestling fan here. How you guys doing this week? My couple points for this week, I want to start off with the Hurt Business and Bobby Lashley. I love that they let him go in and squash Riddle, because, I mean, Bobby Lashley looks very unstoppable right now. He looks like a beast. I like how what they're doing with Bobby Lashley. And, you know, Riddle, he's a great wrestler. You know how I feel about Riddle. I like Riddle, but obviously Bobby Lashley over Riddle all day. But with that being said, I notice as I'm watching Bobby, you know, wrestle, a lot of the fans are doing the thumbs down signal. And I get he's a heel, so I was starting to think about me as a wrestling fan. I like heels. So I like Bobby Lashley and Hurt Business, meaning I would root for them in a match. Even if Bobby was going against Drew McIntyre, I would still root for Bobby Lashley. Same thing for Roman Reigns. I like Roman Reigns. I would root for Roman Reigns over whoever he's facing. So I want to pose that question to you. I've heard you say you like the Hurt Business. But would you root for him? I heard you say you like Roman Reigns. Would you root for him? Because that's where I'm at. And I get you can be both. You can like a character in iteration, not too much care for the, you know, to cheer for that person. But I'm just wondering where you stand on that. Also, what's your Royal Rumble prediction? I know we're still 3 weeks out. A clear winner ain't came. But what's your prediction on the Royal Rumble? Also, shout out to Fonz. Appreciate you for thinking I'm not so casual of a wrestling fan. And as I told you in email, I'd be honored to be on the show. And you guys, you have a great rest of the week. Thank you.
Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan, it certainly would not be a mailbag show without your voice. So great to hear from you, of course, as always. And yeah, it was a great point brought up that you're not exactly a casual wrestling fan. I mean, you're anything but, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, you come up with things and say things and have opinions that casual wrestling fans, the term, the stereotype of casual wrestling fan would not have. But hey, I like the name casual wrestling fan. That's kind of cool, but also ironic with the things you come up with. So, okay, let's dissect some things here. Number one, the Hurt Business. I love them as well. You know I love them. I love what they've done with all four men. It has been an overachievement of a group that had no business doing exactly what they're doing from when this originally was probably concocted in the minds of creative. And that's a good thing. I love when groups overachieve and they maximize what they have. And really, credit goes out to MVP, but of course, all the effort from the other guys, right? I mean, with Cedric Alexander coming into the group and really getting time to shine. We have Shelton Benjamin, of course, and then the muscle, which is Bobby Lashley. So your question, though, was directed at would I cheer for them, because you said I like them. Here's what I'm saying. And this is where it gets a little bit wonky and where I'm sure WWE creative and Vince would be concerned about when heel groups do too good or a heel individual does too good and they're too good at what they do. Do fans appreciate that and then start to cheer them? This is where you get into trouble as a heel, because then you're no longer a heel, right? You're just an edgy babyface. I think the art of a true heel has been lost. We have seen glimmers of it over the last year in WWE, of true heels, and in AEW, which I don't mention that often. And I'll give you the three individuals that I believe have had true heel heat over the last year in all of professional wrestling. I'm talking like real heat. And those three individuals are Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, and MJF in AEW. Those three individuals, I think, have started to master the heel heat. Now, as far as the Hurt Business go, I don't know why I should hate them. They're booked and positioned as a heel team, but I don't see the reasons why I'm supposed to hate them. They do exactly what they say they're going to do. They beat people down. Riddle looked like a fool this week, calling back Lashley and MVP to just get beat down again like a fool. And they do exactly what they say they're going to do. They beat people cleanly. They very rarely cheat to win. They're just a badass group. So I would cheer for them too. I would cheer for them because they're not really heels. They're heels in being cast. Like, you know, I can be cast a certain way. But the way they're coming off on screen, the way their matches are booked, the way that they just do things and just tear people apart, and they do it in a way that's not underhanded, why the hell are they a heel team? You know, I would argue they're babyface. They're an edgy babyface team. So yes, I would cheer for them because they're not true heels. The art of true heels that I mentioned, those three individuals, though, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, and MJF, all fall under this explanation of would I cheer for any of those men in an arena? The answer is no, I wouldn't. Yes, they are doing an amazing job at being a heel, all three. And Randy Orton certainly cooled off, and they had him red hot, and they cooled him off, and you all know how I feel about that. But they've mastered it so well, but in the context that it should be, not in the cool heel or doing things that are entertaining or getting myself over with the crowd and chanting and sing-alongs and stuff that... It's not easy to be a true heel in today's day and age because it's such a passé or lost art, I should say. It's not passé. It's a lost art. And Roman found it. Randy Orton found it. And MJF has found it. You can be really good at being a heel and fans recognize how good you are, but still be hated and get booed by those fans. However, the problem becomes, again, in the modern era of wrestling, fans appreciate when you're really good at a character. They appreciate when, even when you're a heel, that's why people think the reverse logic of, well, if they're, you know, they turn heel and they get hot, fans are going to cheer them. Again, not if they do their job as a heel, truly to a T. Not if they go all in and not worry about merch sales, not worry about people actually liking them or a crowd reaction, or some kind of slogan that you want to sell. No. Get people to truly hate you, even though the fans know you're doing a great job, not taking that and overshadowing it with how the fact that you're a heel. Like, just because you're doing a great job doesn't mean the fans should cheer you. The fans can recognize your work, but still really question whether or not you're a true a-hole. That, my friends, is a true heel. And all three of those men, it's a very short list in 2021, of which we have heels right now. And Orton, Reigns, and MJF are on that very short list. You have many, many, many teams and individuals in women and in men that are cast as heels. They're cast in that way, but very few execute it correctly, and those are the three. So no, I would not cheer for Roman Reigns. I would not cheer for Randy Orton. I would not cheer for MJF. I would still want to see them get their asses kicked. At the same time, recognizing they are so good at their job that I still don't care that I know that they're good at their job, and I want to see them get their ass kicked. That is heel heat that you want, and it's not easy. Because the temptation to be a cool heel is very illustrious. It's very, very easy to fall into that, of which many, many, many people do. And that's why you get the cool heel, and oh, if they turn heel, they'll just cheer them. No, 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 no. That to me is a bad excuse for the lack of ability to make somebody a real heel. Long answer, I know, but I wanted to be very, very clear about that. So good question, though. Good question. It just comes down to the lost art of being a true heel. And the Hurt Business, they're cast as heels, but I have no hatred to them, nor should I, because they haven't done anything to make me hate them. They just do what they say, and they kick ass, and they're good, and they have great chemistry together, and MVP is great on the mic. There's no reason for me to hate them. So thank you, Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan. Yes, we will get you on the show. We'll find a time. I think that'd be a lot of fun, considering especially you have many differing opinions than I do. That'd be fun, right? Like you come up with good questions, and you differ on many things, which is going to be fun, certainly. So yeah, we'll find some time to bring you on. All right, well, that is going to do it for the part two of our mailbag. Thank you for everybody calling in and all the emails and everything else. It was certainly an overwhelming week, but yes, I normally don't record on Thursdays, but you guys forced me to, so you're welcome, I guess. But call in, guys, 518-952-0247, or email us at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Of course, tomorrow night is SmackDown. And we'll have Michael Ritter, who joined me on last week's Week in Review. If you want to hear myself and Michael co-host together for the first time, we did a two-hour-plus show last week. But he'll be doing a solo show tomorrow, late tomorrow night, which is usually posted by Saturday morning for the SmackDown Review. And then on Sunday, we have Michael Gross returning for the Week in Review to discuss everything that's going on and as we get close to the Rumble. And as I'm just thinking, I just never answered the Casual Wrestling Fan's question about my picks for the Rumble. Here's my quick picks for the Royal Rumble, and then I'll end the show. As it stands, again, I am not confident at all in my picks. 2 weeks out almost, I'm still very, very shaky on my picks, so don't hold me to it. I'm not confident, but here we go. For the women, I think, I hate to just pick one because I have a couple of people. I think Shayna Baszler, I think we have the EST of WWE, Bianca Belair, win the Royal Rumble. They've done a lot of foundational work with her, and I think that she's probably the one to win. Sonya Deville, I would have had as the front runner, and I did a couple of weeks ago, but she's kind of involved in a weird management, quasi-GM, co-GM, but only with Adam Pearce on SmackDown position. It's bizarre. I don't know why they're doing this with Sonya. I think she's much better as a heel, running her mouth, just laying people out on SmackDown. But maybe that'll be sooner than later. So that's the women. I think Sonya Deville, or why do I keep saying Sonya Deville? The EST of WWE, Bianca Belair. Okay, men. Men is even more difficult. The men's Royal Rumble right now, my pick is probably Drew McIntyre for a second year in a row. And I'm saying that because Goldberg will probably beat him for the championship. The fans are going to lose their minds, and then he'll win the Royal Rumble and then challenge Roman Reigns. And we get a Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre WrestleMania main event. And that's my thinking. I'm probably wrong on that because there's a lot of different paths that we're hearing about Roman Reigns. Rumors, you can go look at them yourselves on all the websites that we all know who they are and what they are, but I just don't want to give free promotion to my competition. So certainly I'm very not confident. Don't put your money on my picks. Please don't. I know you still can, and betting online is still a thing, even for wrestling. So, okay, those are my picks as it stands right now, but those will probably change from day to day. I mean, especially as we get through Raws and SmackDowns. All righty. Thank you, everybody. Tomorrow, again, we'll be doing a Rivalries. Anthony DeMarco will be recording a brand new Rivalries for you. And Saturday's Michael Ritter and his SmackDown review. Mimi's Highs and Lows come to you Saturday night. And then myself will be back on Sunday with your Week in Review and co-host Michael Gross. So, everybody, thank you. Take care. Stay safe. And I'll talk to you next time.